honey, look at those beautiful clouds.
Those aren't clouds, Daddy. Those are chemtrails.
Chemtrails? What are chemtrails?
Chemical trails, Daddy, and they're very bad.
Dane Wiggins with Geoengineering Watch Radio for the week of September 27th, 2014. We have an extremely important guest on today, someone who I've watched for a very long time and respected and regarded. If we had more like him, we would be in a different situation today, likely, with our circus of insanity that we face globally. We have Richard Gage with us from 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth. And this issue of 9/11, which changed the course of modern civilization, which was used as a pretext for unlimited war and hegemonic empire, it needs to be exposed. And I relate to 9/11 as what a glaring example of people's blindness, that they can buildings that were clearly demolitioned, Building 7 coming to the ground, and Richard can verify more of these facts, free fall speed, I think it was 9. And the official story was from some couches and chairs burning on the first floor. And we have, I believe, the 9/11 Commission report didn't say a single word about this issue. So this is immensely important. We'll get into this in a little more detail in a moment. A couple quick points. First, the Global March for Geoengineering Awareness today. I hope people have done what they can to help sound the alarm. I know there's a lot of fatigue in the trenches, if you will. Well, it's been a long, hard road, but quite simply, our futures depend on exposing certain issues. And the climate engineer is truly one of the very prime issues, if in a very immediate sense, not the prime issue, because we're breathing this stuff in. But the gravity of the situation can't be overstated. Weather events will continue. We had, as I posted in my weather update today, a 5-minute YouTube, extreme weather events like that, Montana, again, and Montana and several other states. We had record cold 2 weeks ago, about September 11th, by the way. And we had record cold in Montana, some temperatures down to the teens. Some areas in Montana hit near 100 degrees in the last 2 days, all-time record highs. The climate system is coming apart. Climate engineering is helping that to happen in their attempt to try to and manipulate the Earth's climate system. They are tearing that system apart, toxifying the entire planet at the same time. So these extreme weather events will continue. And the overall ability of the planet to support life will continue to deteriorate, as will our personal health, because we know we're all breathing this stuff in. So given the magnitude of what we face as a species right now, we must focus on priorities. And I would argue the two greatest things we could do right now are to expose 9/11 and to expose climate engineering. the two greatest things we could accomplish, either one of which would expose the other. When 9/11 is exposed, and I believe that is a win, not an if, when 9/11 is exposed, it will shatter the paradigm of the population that's still in denial, absolutely shatter it, which will make them unable to hide from the fact that they're being sprayed like rats from the sky, and their whole notion of what government does will be completely obliterated. Same with the climate engineering issue. When a population is part of a grand and lethal experiment, that will also help expose 9/11. Without any more delay, Richard, thank you for joining us today. We have the anti-climate engineering masses right now that listen to, you know, that are gaining in numbers every day, people who avoid perhaps in many cases any political, but know that they can't avoid it now. I mean, many people in this march have joined because they know that there are some things you can't farm and you have to face. And 9/11 is really a door that opened up so many other doors, correct? And please tell us how you got in, when you made the decision to devote everything to this, because obviously you have, and where we're at today.
Yes, Dane, it's an honor to be on with your Geoengineering Watch program, and I have been following this issue for a number of years as well. I was just shocked to learn that they can get away with spraying our skies everywhere continuously in obvious patterns that defy logic as to how people aren't screaming about this from the rooftops. So I applaud your personal mission to raise awareness to the public about this. And it's about the same. I have been for 8 years with regard to 9/11 screaming from the rooftops along with hundreds of thousands of other people. It's not like you
and I are alone here. Yeah, what started that? I mean,
well,
I'm really curious with what happened when you decided this is what I have to do.
Yeah, I was simply listening to the radio from my car 8 years ago in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was on my way back from a construction meeting. As an architect, we build stuff, and it we design stuff, and it gets built. And I was listening to this radio program and with Bonnie Faulkner from Guns and Butter program on KPFA Free Speech Radio Pacifica Station. It just shocked me because here was David Ray Griffin, who's written now 10 books on the subject of 9/11. He's talking about the explosive testimony from 118 first responders on record, talking about all of these explosions in the building and seeing flashes of light, many of them. And this didn't even get out to the American people until August of 2005 because the New York Court State of Appeals held it, they required the New York City to release this information because the New York Times was suing the city. So this information is damning because not of what turns out to be hundreds of witnesses overall talking about experiencing, recording explosions at the destruction of all three World Trade Centers. They never got until August 2005, and they still don't talk about it. It's not in the official reports at all about these buildings. And we're talking about NIST, who wrote these reports ultimately, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So David Ray Griffin was explaining that and the fact that there's all of this molten metal or steel by the glowing temperature of it. The glow of it releases the temperature or reveals it. And so he was going on and on, and I'm just shocked. I had to pull my car over and listen to the rest of it, even though I had somewhere else I needed to be. I mean, how can this be? So I checked it out. He was actually at the Oakland Grand Lake Theater that night or the next night. And I went, and it was sold out. There were 600 people there listening to him. I knew I'm on to something here. So I checked it out. Sure enough, I learned there was a third skyscraper that collapsed on 9/11. And you mentioned that earlier. It's a 47-story skyscraper, part of the World Trade Center complex. And it, on the afternoon of 9/11, at 5:20, after witnesses hear explosions, once again, it drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically, into its own footprint, as fast as a bowling ball falling off the side of the building. This building is completely shattered. It's certainly shattered. It falls at free fall acceleration. And
About 9 seconds, Richard? Is that about the right range? I think it was something in that order.
Yeah, 7 seconds.
For 7 seconds.
Top to bottom, 7 seconds, completely gone. We've seen this before, of course, the old hotels in Las Vegas, just like a classic controlled demolition. And yet, the official story, which came out 8 years later from NIST, says normal office fires brought this building down. And so there's this new reason that office fires, which never have brought down ever in the history of skyscrapers, even though we've had 100 much larger, longer lasting and hotter fires in these buildings, they're never brought down ever, at all.
I mean, so technologically, it's impossible. I mean, correct? It's impossible for a carbon-based fire to even come close to being able to accomplish anything of that sort, no matter how long it burns, right?
Well, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
Not even jet fuel, which is in the case of the Twin Towers, that did get hit by airplanes. Jet fuel is hotter than office chairs or furniture. And so one would expect, even though those buildings were punctured by airplanes, which are small relative to the immense size of these buildings.
If I understand correctly, I think it was, now the initial 9/11 commission report did not even address Building 7. Is that correct? They didn't even mention it in the 9/11 report. Is that accurate?
The building itself is mentioned, but not its catastrophic destruction, which is completely unprecedented. I mean, this is the third worst structural failure in modern history. It should have been the most understood and studied building by architects and engineers all around the world. Again, it wasn't hit by an airplane, no jet fuel. People didn't die in it, so we don't have the emotional trauma associated with Building 7 the way we do the Twin Towers, which is why we start with Building 7 in our presentations around the world, which we've done now in 32 foreign countries and 82 American cities to over 350 presentations to groups of 100 to 3,000. And in these presentations, we do a show of hands. Of those of you who are not familiar with this evidence, do you agree with us that this is indicative of a controlled demolition, that we need a new investigation? And 90 to 100% of the hands will go up at that point, and we record these results on our website.
I mean, so many people, is this your experience as well, still don't know that there was even a third building. Isn't that an astounding accomplishment by mainstream media? That I run into people all the time who still don't know there was a third building. Is that the case to some of your disseminations?
It sure is. People are unfamiliar, even New Yorkers, unfamiliar, which is why, by the way, last year we raised $500,000 to put up ads, billboard ads, all around the world in 12 cities. And in New York, we had in Times Square, I forget how tall that sucker was, 80 feet. Right now there's a video billboard that's up for the month of September. It is 89 feet wide, wraps around the corner in Times Square, and is 40 feet high. And it shows Building 7 coming down right now, every 3 minutes for 15 seconds, and talks about the controlled demolition and invites people to rethink 9/11. So we're getting a lot of reaction because people just don't know about it, and they're just shocked.
So you are seeing good
went right by it.
So you are seeing good that exposure has generated the increased interest that you hope for.
Well, we would hope for a whole lot more. Actually, we did receive attention on with Jesse Ventura on his radio show, and also Alex Jones and Coast to Coast George Norrie. And we would like to get back on Fox News with Geraldo, who interviewed us a couple of years ago, and we did get a 40-minute interview on Washington Journal from C-SPAN on August 1st.
So that was a great interview, by the way. I've seen it. That was absolutely outstanding interview. You performed flawlessly in it, and that was a real breakthrough. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, we did get we inspired, you know, the like you say, in the trenches, where you get trench fatigue. It's happening in the 9/11 truth movement because we don't have these big breaks very often. And that particular got 100,000 views on the C-SPAN website. And their other interviews are only getting like 100 or 200. This one got 100,000. It shows way above normal what they would have what they've experienced. So that in and of itself is a big sign to mainstream media that it's huge.
To back up a little bit, again, when you heard this, you pulled over to the side of the road, you were shocked, you started to investigate, you mentioned his book. I bought four or five cases of his book right when it came out, the new Pearl Harbor, passed it out to everybody I knew, but since was there, especially then. You heard this, you went after the information. At some point, you clearly have decided that this was your mission, expose this issue. And I would point out to everybody listening, if not for Richard Gage right now, this issue that would change the course of the world if it was exposed, if not for the really tenacious and unrelenting work of Richard, this is where it's at. And people should pay attention to what one man can do. What one man can do. She was now closer than ever to being exposed. And when it's exposed, this issue will change the course of history. So for everybody who thinks they can't make a difference, look at what one man has done. So, Richard, again, from that point when you pulled over, you heard this, you began to focus on this. At what point was your life basically all focused on this issue? It seems to be clearly all focused on this now and has been for a long time. When did that occur?
Well, for 4 years after 2008, this was a full-time job for me on top of my other full-time job as an architect, and eventually it just took over. I didn't even have time to fulfill my obligations at work. I was traveling around. I was so passionate that my wife at the time just said, look, you got to do this. It's taking over our life. This is not something that I want in my life to this extent. And so she believed me. It wasn't like she thought I was nuts. Well, at first she did. Everybody does at first, but then they get it, you know, after you present it in several different angles, they finally get it. So I had to be single, and I had to leave my work and focus 100%. Prior to that, I did take the evidence to the architects that I worked with, 14 of them, most of whom did think I was nuts, because, you know, you can't just tell somebody about this. You got to walk them through the evidence, like we're going to do today on your program. And then finally, especially with the visual evidence, they see it, like on our DVD now, 9/11 explosive evidence, experts speak out. People get it. And those 14 architects whom I had to bribe them with pizza at lunch, and they all got it. They all signed my petition, except my boss, who was Middle Eastern, who said, "Look, I'm from the Middle East. I got enough trouble already." So that's the way it's been. When people see it, they get it. Most of them will sign our petition as well. We now have 2,200 engineers, as you mentioned, and we started out with one, and so we're making a difference.
Well, you made it a mission. People want to make a difference in the world. To support what you're doing is one of the things they could possibly do. To expose this issue, it would change everything. It would make people understand just how far the train is off the rails. And isn't it astounding? You have these architect associates that it took a while for them to realize and accept that a building like Building 7 is clearly being demolitioned. I mean, you can't look at that and not rationally come to that conclusion. And the programming and the normalcy bias with people is so strong that even seeing something that's blatantly obvious is still hard for them to accept. And on that note, I mean, I have always felt that data was that you've put out and that others have put out, David Ray Griffin, was extremely straightforward, extremely compelling. This is Occam's razor when, you know, all else being equal, the most obvious scenario is what is the case. And isn't that what we have here with 9/11? Explain to us what the evidence indicates and what the logical conclusion should be as to what brought those buildings down.
Well, even the original FEMA investigators themselves in May of 2002 put together their own assessment. And they documented very carefully in Appendix C the hot corrosion of the steel. I mean, molten iron. They document that molten iron has invaded the steel beams. And molten iron is requires temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees. These fires could not have even gotten a third of those temperatures, with or without jet fuel. And, of course, Bill Sullivan had no plane hit it. So the official story says, well, it wasn't. Because that didn't burn on the...
We're having a little audio issue, Richard. We just missed something. Having a little bit of an audio breakup, Russ. I'm not sure if you have that also. I missed the word you said. It wasn't...
Diesel fuel.
There we go.
Fuel was used to fuel the automatic backup generators on the fifth floor, but there's no fires on the fifth floor. So they acknowledge that diesel fuel didn't contribute to this damage, this catastrophic destruction. Neither did the damage from the beams, which was fairly minor, that came down from the nearby North Tower. It was about a football field in length away from Building 7. So that wasn't a significant factor, according to the official story. It was thermal, where they say there's raging fire on the 12th floor caused long-span steel beams to expand, push a girder off of its seat on column 79, causing the 13th floor to fall on the 12th and so on for cascading collapse on one part of the building, buckling that long column and then causing the interior of the building to fail in a dozen seconds prior to the overall building coming down. None of that can be true. And we walk people through that and show them how none of it could be true. First of all, the fire in that part of the building was out, so it couldn't have been expanding beams. It was out over an hour before this building collapsed. That's what the photos and videos show. So they've lied about not only the extent of the fire, but its timing in order to try to prove how this building came down so fast. And even if there was a cascading collapse inside this building, you would have seen massive deformation of the perimeter structure and granite panels and massive breakage of windows on the outside prior to this building coming down. So they have lied from beginning to end, and we are demanding an investigation of NIST themselves. They have completely compromised science here, trying to justify, actually, and they never did, how a building can fall at free fall at all. I mean, there was 40,000 tons of structural steel in this building. It could not have
not all given away at once. I mean, we're talking 80 columns in this building. To bring a building down symmetrically, all of them have to be cut at once. To bring it down at free, that has to happen on every floor, or at least 8 floors, because that's the distance over which the free fall is measured and acknowledged by NIST, but not explained. So it's it doesn't make any sense at all when you really start to look at it, especially when you look at the statements from one of the FEMA investigators himself, Jonathan Barnett, who's a fire protection engineer, and he cites that the ends of the steel beams were partially evaporated, which takes 1,000-degree temperatures. That's 3 or 4 times what these fires could possibly even have gotten to. And there's no explanation, of course, as to how that happens, or the hot sulfur corrosion attack on the steel, which is documented by them as well, but unexplained. Where does the sulfur come from? Well, sulfur is added to thermite used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter, and that brings the temperature down makes it much more effective. That substance is called thermate with sulfur added. So they see pools of molten iron, which are unexplainable underneath the debris of all three towers, and the iron workers, structural engineers, and first responders all are documenting this. There's dozens and dozens of witnesses of this, of course. Many of them are in our DVD. And it's just very clear that something very different is going on here. They talk about molten steel flowing like lava. Leslie Robertson, the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, cites that there's a river of molten steel. Turns out to be molten iron, which behaves very similarly at those temperatures. But there's no molten iron in these buildings. And yet, they don't build steel buildings anymore with iron. It's mostly iron, but it's an alloy. But this is pure elemental iron. Where does it come from? Well, it is one of the ingredients of thermite, the other being powdered aluminum. So you have
these beams,
basically.
Not to cut you off, Richard, I just want to clarify that in the back of everything you're saying, there were beams either recovered and or photographed with exactly the severing that you would expect from the use of thermite or thermate in exactly the same angle you would expect. This is yet one more perfectly, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's very controversial in and of itself. These 45-degree angled cuts on these beams, some of them appear to clearly be the evidence of sabotage on the steel beams by thermites or cuts that were made out at the site. Workers get confusing, so we have not been focusing on the 45-degree cuts, even though many of them are just that. But these cuts require temperatures that are massive. And what we see in the dust is evidence of those temperatures. From river to river, there's a blanket of pulverized concrete and other pulverized building materials. Well, they've studied this dust. The USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, and R.J. Lee, an environmental consulting firm, have gone through this exhaustively, provided reports, and what do they find? Billions and billions of iron microspheres, the diameter of a human hair. These are previously molten iron, not steel, iron microspheres. Up to 6% of some of these samples are composed of these unexplained spheres. They have no explanation for them. So they are clearly the result of molten iron under extensive pressure, which would atomize the liquid molten iron, form it into spheres because of the surface tension, and then it falls with and cools with all of the other dust. And that is the only plausible explanation for this, and that's what the chemical signature of them indicates. Exactly the same as a controlled experiment of ignited thermite. So that's
if I can summarize it, with everything you've gone over, just to put this in a small nut, it's not like a few things look suspicious or a few things seem to connect. Everything connects for one conclusion, does it not? Every connects. They lead to
that's,
one conclusion.
That's correct. And the corollary is true. None of the evidence supports destruction by fire in any of these towers. There is no evidence for destruction by fire. All the evidence, and we've gone through, you know, maybe a third of it right now. There's just much more damning evidence here. And every one of those individual pieces has to be answered and taken apart by the opposing party supporting the official story, and they have to explore terms how fire could produce these. And so of the 10 key statistics of controlled demolition, none of them can be explained. Fire can't explain any of them, let alone all of them together. The odds would be astronomical.
It's impossible. And don't you run across people with all the work you're doing, because I do, even on the level I'm approaching 9/11 as much as I can, but people who, once it's been pointed out to them, when they watch the Building 7, they say, how could I have not seen this before? How could I have not recognized this before? How could I have been so blind? You must run across that.
Yeah, I did myself. I mean, I bought the official story hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I'm a Reagan Republican. I was rooting for Colin Powell as he was making the case for mass destruction against Saddam Hussein and ties to Osama bin Laden. I was wanting the invasion of Afghanistan. I wanted to get those guys. And so I didn't see, as others did, that these towers were being blown up. And it's very clear, by the way, to see the Twin Towers being blown up. It's very different from Building 7. Building 7, a classic implosion. The towers, a very unusual destruction of a building by explosions, thousands of them, from the point of jet plane impacts down. And I didn't see that. I didn't know what I was looking at. We were all in a state of shock also, watching the towers come down. Unbelievable situation where we're put in a state of shock and awe. We're under attack. We're regressed to an infantile state of cognitive dissonance where competing realities are vying for our own sense of survival. And we want answers. And we're fed right away by officials that are saying, oh, yes, massive airplanes and unbelievably hot jet fuel, never happened before in a building, even though it has, and buildings have survived plane hits.
Now, it wasn't the tower or the Empire State Building was hit, I believe, by a B-52, was it not? I mean,
A B-25 bomber hit it.
Oh, B-25, okay.
Jet fuel.
It's
massive fire, much worse.
Much worse than the towers. And if I remember correctly, the Twin Towers were built to sustain multiple 4-7 impacts, which is actually more foot-pounds of energy than what hit the buildings. Even if we look at the two towers, the way that concrete was completely pulverized, completely obliterated, that would not at all be indicative of building that collapsed. That's indicative of the explosions as well, is it not? I mean, the fact that this concrete was completely turned into powder.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And that is in mid-air. This is incredible. We're talking about mid-air pulverization of 90,000 tons of concrete. We don't see these floors stacked up at the bottom. There's 110 floors in each of these buildings. They are pulverized. There's no stack of even two or three floors down at the bottom visible in the photos or videos. Only a stack of two stories high core columns, perimeter columns, etc. Where are all those floors? Well, they have been pulverized in midair in explosions which are obviously sending a 4-ton structural steel sections from this building's perimeter laterally at 60 miles an hour, laterally landing up to 600 feet in every direction, such that all of this steel is laid out in a 1,400-foot diameter around each of these towers. That's incredible evidence, direct evidence of explosives in and of itself.
Now, I want to say a couple of things here. I've been very neglectful to Russ and to Greg. And for Greg Collin, who has known Richard for some time, Greg has helped Richard behind the scenes, I think, with billboards and so forth. And Greg's done a heck of a lot for the climate engineering 9/11 issue. And he's, you know, I'm very honored to call him my friend, too. Russ, obviously, done a lot for the anti-geoengineering issue, both of which are helping me. But with Greg's connection to Richard, that helped me to reach Richard and help his exposure. As comes to light, Richard, you get people, I'm sure, asking, I mean, they ask this all the time, the same with climate engineering, why would they do this? The answers are very obvious if people just stop to think. And when we have the statement by PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, I think, Richard, you probably know more than me, but I think it was a year and a half or so beforehand, where they stated, short of a Pearl Harbor-type-like event, they would not be able to carry out their agenda of militarization and authorization. And what do we have? This completely out-of-control terror. When you see Rudy Giuliani, I think of some of these speeches, he mentions the word terror two or three dozen times in one speech. This is clearly the tool, the license by which the military-industrial juggernaut of total insanity was unleashed upon the globe, because they had now catalyzed the American population to support that. I know we're venturing off the technical end, but clearly people, when they see them, easier for them to see the actual event. But is that not what happened, Richard? I mean, was this not the license by which the war of aggression and occupation was released?
Yeah, it sure was. And not only that, but we have lost our civil liberties as well.
Right.
Any of us, particularly people like you and me, who are among the many leaders in these truth movements, can be arrested without even charge, without told what we're being arrested for, without a right to a trial, a lawyer, a trial with a jury, held indefinitely. These violate sacred civil liberties we've had since that our forefathers fought for. But with the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, the Patriot Act, these have been wiped off the map, and people don't realize this because, you know, it may not affect them directly yet. But this, we're heading straight into a situation where we can be. They can flip the switch at the next emergency, and that's what we're all trying to highlight here. What is the next 9/11 that is being planned? If we don't wake up to this one, so that it's so important. This isn't 13-year-old history that we're trying to teach people. We're trying to avoid the escalation of these things, which there are numerous other examples of besides 9/11. And even besides geoengineering, as catastrophic and unbelievable as that they can get away with, what else are they doing? So, like you said earlier, this is a domino, which is a key one for people to get. Some people get geoengineering right away. That's fantastic. Other people do get 9/11 after being explained to what happened there. Then they start to look around themselves and say, what else am I being lied about?
On that note, now this is where, Greg, I think you've experienced firsthand in your run for Congress the way the system is manipulated, the way there's assistance that comes for those who are willing to toe the line for the establishment. Is that not true from your experience running for office?
Yes, Dane, it most definitely is. Run for U.S. Congress, and you see the way political forums, they don't even have debates anymore. They're called political forums. You get 1 minute to speak, maybe two. There were several political forums where I got 2 minutes instead of 1 minute. You cannot accurately get into a topic like geoengineering or 9/11, what happened at the Twin Towers. You can't get into that topic in a minute or two without sounding like an idiot. And that's what they want. They want to label you to label the candidates that would even go there as conspiracy theorists and shut them up quick in a minute or two and it's over.
Now, didn't you say that those, because there are a couple of other people running who obviously were not talking about the kinds of things you were talking about, did you not say that you saw them appear to get assistance from the powers that be, that their campaigns appeared to be assisted?
Absolutely. We actually had evidence that campaign volunteers saw the chairman of the party, and I was running, going door to door to on signs in front of them. I put up a lot of those signs with my own hands, trying to get those people to vote for the other Republican candidate in the primary. That is pretty much frowned upon. The party should not support one candidate or the other in the primary. Let the best horse win, and then you support that candidate. And I wish I would have spoken more about geoengineering. I did talk some when I had time to get into it, where they couldn't label me as a tin hat, but they will do everything in their power on my side across the district. They considered me a threat because I was talking about geoengineering, the 9/11 truth movement, as much as I could and still try to get elected, and the system basically just worked to destroy me, and that really made me mad. And now they've created a nemesis because they're going to have to kill me to shut me up now, because I'm going to help you guys as much as I can, because
you've been a big,
I know where this road ends, and this road does not, it ends in a horrible place.
Let me back into this, and I mean, so we see firsthand from somebody who's been there, done that. The system is designed to help those into political office, those people who are willing to toe the line, the official narrative for the establishment. As Richard just said before I asked you that question, Greg, the next 9/11, I think that's an incredibly important statement. And when people act like 9/11 has come and gone and we shouldn't worry about it anymore, that's what the establishment would like us to do, is not worry about it. And it is being exposed, thanks in so much part to Richard's incredible efforts. But as it's exposed, the power structure becomes very, very dangerous, much more dangerous as they begin to be spotlighted for what they've done. And now I believe the threat for another false flag is immense. And I'm seeing, and Richard, you can, I don't know if you've seen anything on RTTV. They're starting to talk about this now. And Russia's backed into a corner. The U.S. has been so incredibly aggressive. Russia certainly knows what happened on that day. And now I'm seeing Abby Martin and so forth on RTTV. I encourage people to watch RTTV, by the way. But I'm seeing them start to talk about starting to let more and more information out. I hope they play this card. I hope they help to expose our government. Have you been talked to by RTTV, Richard, at all?
Yeah, they were out at several of the recent years' September activities. There's one show, Truth Seeker, Daniel Bushell, who highlighted our campaign along with Ben Swan, not of RT. But Abby Martin is increasingly being let out of the closet. She started out as a 9/11 advocate, an activist, and she's had to contain in the last few years on RT, but increasingly her guests are forcing her out of the closet as well. They bring up the issue, and she's so I hope Russia plays that card. Iran certainly played that card, hosting an international conference on issues like 9/11, and specifically asked me to come and represent our new film 9/11 Explosive Evidence
experts speak out, and our website where all this is shown, which is ae911truth.org. So when is this event? Is this an upcoming event that you're asked to attend?
It seems to be happening every year now, and I don't remember the month, but there's a record of it. Kevin Barrett was one of the people in the 9/11 Truth Movement who went and represented us, and in that case, AE 9/11 Truth's film. And I believe that Niels Harrit, the co-author of the nanothermite paper, which is an important key piece of evidence as well that we haven't gotten into, I believe he went to the conference as well in Iran.
Now, people can support, they can get a copy of the new film, 9/11 Explosive Evidence. They can get that on your website, correct? And they can hold, they can and should hold viewings in their neighborhoods to wake people up to the subject. I mean, is the film's available on your site, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So I encourage people to engage in that type of awareness raising, to assemble a flyer or get one off of the 9/11 A&E site, get copies of the film, pass those out. I've personally passed out several hundred copies of their, and those copies tend to start spot fires. People, when they realize that issue is completely different than what they had imagined and been told, it tends to start waking them up to everything. And back to, again, what Richard said about another 9/11 coming, and I fully agree that this is very likely to be close. Power structures back into a corner, again, more dangerous. We have now the climate engineering issue as well as one more mechanism by which they can level the playing field anytime they want. We know as these issues are being exposed, and again, I would argue that our climate engineering, two most issues, important issues we could bring to light. And as these issues are exposed, the dangers increase, and by the spray mechanism they have over us already, it's already sickening us. It's already diminishing our cognitive ability, our ability to think. We know this. The statistics prove it. And now we've just had from MIT, we've had one of the top researchers in the world from MIT state on the record that on the current trajectory, within 10 years, one out of two children will have autism, one out of two. Now, I don't think we're going to get 10 years down the road before our reality is totally turned on its and on the statement, again, back to what Richard said, a false flag event where they will clamp down on everything. I think that's close. Close. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not trying to foretell the future, but all factors indicate that. And, Richard, you've seen, I want your perspective on this, you've seen all the propelling of the whole ISIS thing. The power structure needs to have this catalyst by which they can wage perpetual war. You've seen this ISIS monster built. Certainly the ISIS group is monstrous, but who armed them? Who created them? Who? It's like the Osama bin Laden thing on steroids, and this is all connected, is it not? I mean, is this now this threat of ISIS flooding in with our borders, and something's going to happen, we all need to be aware? Does this not look to you now like a building up of something coming, just like we saw prior to 9/11?
Yeah, it certainly seems so, and so we're extremely concerned, and we don't have you know, a whole lot of proof from that one. I don't, at least. Others are. I think Alex Jones is all over the ISIS scam, but
I only want to
beheading.
Just relating it to 9/11, though. The similarities to 9/11 are striking. And so with 9/11 being something that's going to put pressure on the power structure, based on everything you've done and every country you've done it, where are we? How close is some big breach in the dam? How close are we to that? To given all the groundwork you've laid, what is your assessment as to the building momentum and when this might be impossible to hide for the mainstream media?
Well, we're all looking for that point where we reach critical mass. People are not only aware of the issues and the evidence, but actually doing something about it, sending the link
to our website, ae911truth.org, to every architect and engineer, media official, elected representative that they can find, and everybody else that they know. If people continue to do that, you know, we could break through this year, especially if they accelerate. But we don't know when that tipping point is going to come. We're all deeply frustrated that it hasn't. It's taken 13 years, you know, just to get on C-SPAN. When is the media going to be forced to use in any kind of a real way, even to just ridicule them? I think that's coming real quick here.
Now, Richard, I know you talked to Russ a little bit off air. Russ has a very, very large Facebook group. I think what Russ, you're up close to 20,000, something like that.
Yeah, we're about 23,000 right now.
23,000. So, Richard, I mean, tell the kind of posts you would like to see going on with Russ's group, and with our group. I think we're 16,000 or something. I mean, what's the single best message you think we can send to everybody in our groups to try to most motivate them and give them the simplest tools they can to try to help sound the alarm?
Yes, we have a campaign called Rethink911.org. It actually has a website, Rethink911. So Rethink911.org being the website, and Rethink911 being a Facebook page. And our Facebook page has a couple hundred thousand likes. So we're getting it out there on social media as well. I think the key thing for people to do is to get people to look at a 15-minute DVD that's simple. Ed Asner narrates the evidence, easy to understand, introduces people to the concept of Building 7 and how it came down and what the evidence is that makes it absolutely clear in 15 minutes how this building came down. Once people get, and again, they don't have emotional baggage with the Twin Towers where people died and we were put in shock. So with Building 7, they're more open to looking at it. So we always start with that. And this is the best DVD. So it's called Architects and Engineers Examining Building 7. It's a simple name like that. Ed Asner. And that's free on YouTube. People can look at it there. It's got over a million views now. So it's very, very hot, short video. And people can link to it, send it. It's right on the left side of it, e911truth.org. And so just making people aware of the video, the website, the issue, and let them be curiously drawn in themselves, examining it by an invitation rather than a 2x4 being hit over the head, which is what some of us do and out of frustration.
Well, you know, that's something everybody can do from their own home. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I have not seen that particular video. I put a lot of the trailers up for your film, but that one I haven't seen. So we'll circulate that in our groups for certain, and then. Is there any particular flyer? Are there some type of informational cards available on your site as well?
Oh, yeah. We have a great brochure. Did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? You know, which is a question that people go, whoa, I didn't know that. They take the flyer.
True.
And it says, rethink911.org. The evidence might surprise you. So this new campaign is inviting, and it's not confrontational. Especially the other flyer, which people can get on our website, 9/11 Truth, Good for America. And it has patriotic waving flags and all the reasons, well, six of the reasons anyway, that 9/11 is so good for America. And this appeals to, you know, patriotic people. It stops wars of aggression. It restores our economy. It terminates the NSA's unconstitutional global spying. Restores our civil liberties. Abolishes torture, extraordinary rendition, and assassination of U.S. citizens, restores our country's moral foundation and our faith in our government. I mean, those are all really good things. And believe me,
awakening people about the truth about 9/11, start those processes, especially as it wakes to other devastating lies that we're being told to, and catastrophic and geoengineering like manipulation of our environment and our people.
With the whole 9/11 issue from bottom to top, again, there is really nothing that supports the official story, and everything supports the conclusions that your group, and again, how could you have a stronger group than that, 2,200 people? And there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of disinformation. We talked about this off the air, a lot of people that want to grab at straws, and they grab it, you know, I've seen information, the laser beam from space and all this sort of stuff that is simply designed to make people reject the actual facts. We see the climate engineering when you have people trying sorts of fringe things into the subject to cloud the issue, the disinformation. But in this case, there is, when you have 2,200 plus architects and engineers signing their credibility, how could you have any more weight than that? And so I hope people that have heard lots of other peripheral that have confused them, look at 9/11 A&E. That's the nuts and bolts facts that really cannot be argued with in any way, shape, or form. So on this, Richard, I know that some of these other theories that appear to have been thrown out there for this clouding issue, right? But they're not really making much progress with that. I mean, I think you guys have really gained the lion's share of credibility and attention.
Well, I think so, and that's because we're looking at it scientifically. We regarding Judy Wood and her theory of directed energy weapons. What she does is look at the site around the towers and tries to find unusual evidence to try to support an unusual theory. That she doesn't even know what evidence would support that theory, because we don't know anything about directed energy weapons or how they work. We don't even know if they exist. We know they're experimental programs. But in the process, what Judy Wood does is deny the scientific forensic evidence that we do have for nanothermite, which we haven't even discussed yet on this call, but it's small red-ray chips of high-tech nano by an international team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen, which nanothermite should not be found in the World Trade Center dust, and there's tons of it. Literally tons of it. We'll get to that, but
Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
She also denies the evidence for explosives going off, which are heard by hundreds of people, including
Correct.
Documented by orally by 118 first responders. And she denies the evidence for hot, molten temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees. Officials with satellite infrared technology have documented very well in the piles underneath World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. So
we're about to...
We're
just about to run out of time, but I want to summarize with this, to finish with what you just said, to summarize it. Bottom line is we have one person, Dr. Judy Wood, ignoring evidence and disputing literally not just 2,200 experts, but many more when you count all these other first responders that heard the explosion. So we have one person denying who knows how many, 2,500, 3,000 experts from various fields. Which would people be reasonable in believing? Obviously, you guys are standing on solid ground, period. Nobody else is. So as we wrap up the show, we're about to lose our time. Richard, I hope everybody goes to your site. Please help us sound the alarm on your cause. Everyday matters. These are the two most important issues on the planet, I believe, climate engineering and 9/11. So I hope everybody pulls together from these two camps. Richard, thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dane and Russ and Greg.
Thank you, Richard, for being with us. This is Geoengineering Watch Radio. We're here every Saturday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time at UCY.tv. We'll see you next week.